All right. Well, good morning again. Do me a favor. Will you help welcome our first-time guests and those online? Come on. All right. We're so happy to have you here. And if you're not convinced, I'm smiling. So you know I'm happy to have you here. In all sincerity, we do want to welcome you to Hillside. We're excited that you're worshiping along with us. If you are just jumping in online, you're welcome too. Want to encourage you to jump into the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be getting there in just a moment. But we're kicking off this month, this year, with a series called Successful Living. If you've not seen the image for that, it is three words, not just two words. The three words are success and then full, F-U-L-L, living. A little play on words, a little tongue in cheek, but I think it is a series that drives at the heart of our day-to-day living. I asked you last week to consider a question that you may have never considered before. And I asked you, I invited you to think about what is success. Not only what is success on a kind of a trivial basis or maybe in your workplace, but to consider really at the core of your being, your inner man or woman, to ask, hey, what is all this for? What am I getting at? Where is, if life is a journey in a car, where is this thing headed? What are we doing? Kind of what is all this for? And if you are new to church, you may have never even committed your life to Christ. I want to unapologetically give you perspective for this series and this message. I'm unapologetically sharing from the words of Jesus. Unapologetically looking at successful living from his point of view, from his words, from his ways, and his perspective. And so this isn't a self-help kind of talk perspective. This can be a bit of a painful journey. Some of you getting uneasy when I say that. But we follow a Savior. Here's what you need to know. His kingdom is not of this world. We follow a Savior that we believe Jesus lived, he died, he resurrected. In that resurrection, God's kingdom was established. So we've jumped into the journey of following him, and here's what we're doing. We're about building his kingdom. Our allegiance is with him. He's not up for re-election. He's been on the throne, and we worship him wholeheartedly. What many of us have found, if you are doubting or new to the faith, you're just kind of curious. Let me say, you are surrounded by people who are learning. We've not perfected this journey, but we're learning what it means to follow him with everything we have. So, now that I've got that cleared up, last week I shared from Luke chapter 10, verse 27. That verse will come up every message of this series. The reason I shared from this is because it's one of the most important conversations Jesus ever had. Jesus was asked by someone who was an expert in the law. And so it's a good way to say this is someone that's an expert in the law, they would have studied the equivalent of what we would say is a doctor or have their doctorate, and they pass the bar exam, somebody, okay? They're very, very educated, very, very well informed. They knew the Bible inside and out. And keep in mind, when Jesus is in conversation, when they talk about scripture, they're talking about the Old Testament. And this expert in the law said, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That is, by the way, on our minds, whether we realize it or not. I had read a survey one time of people all across the world. Many times they're thinking about eternity. And the natural second question is, how can I attain that? How can that become possible for me? This expert in the law said, hey, Jesus, listen, I've noticed you. I've seen what's happening. And so he threw out a test. How's he going to answer? Jesus answered, we know it very simply in Luke 10, 27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. every arena of life. Love God with everything you have. And the second is equal to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Easy, right? Simple, straightforward. Easy to understand, but oh, so hard to live. Amen? As Christ followers, our approach to God isn't, hey, God, give me a successful life. He's already given us an invitation to a successful life. There may be parts of the American dream in it, but it's not limited to the American dream. It's limited to following parameters that Jesus has laid out. And so Jesus invites you and I on a daily basis to live for his kingdom, not simply for the kingdoms of earth. Goodness, I'll say I love it when his kingdom and the kingdom of earth line up. We love that. But many times that isn't the way that it happens. But for our time today, in particular, I kind of want to follow up on last week's message with a two-word invitation from Jesus. Follow me. I want you to pretend this entire time, not me inviting you, but Jesus inviting you with these two words, follow me. Matthew chapter 4, 18 through 20. If you haven't turned there, give you a quick second. Give you a minute, grab your Bible or get on that Bible app and you can highlight these words. I want you to pray through them. I want you to let them settle or unsettle you this week. I want you to wrestle them to the ground and hear these words. Sometimes we can overcomplicate it. Sometimes I can fill in the blanks, but I don't want to do that today. I want to simply give you those two words. Jesus is looking at you and he's saying, follow me. Powerful passage, Matthew 4, 18 through 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Think on that. Come, follow me. Now here's what we do almost subconsciously as we approach the Bible. We kind of play this scene out in our 2021 culture, in our American culture. And there's a lot of things that actually are said, but they're not said in this passage. Jesus is called a rabbi. Everybody say that word. One, two, three. Rabbi. Rabbi. Okay, rabbi was a distinct group of people. Not anybody or everybody could be a rabbi. You couldn't, you know, get a degree in rabbi by simply filling out an online life experience course and get one in the mail saying, Rabbi Paul, you know, we noticed your life experience and we gave you all those credits. It's not just easy. It's not something attained. I love online degrees. I love life experience credits. All that's good. But you don't get rabbi from that. Rabbi was people, individuals who had memorized scripture, not only knew scripture, but lived it in such a way and were set apart, set aside to teach and to steward God's people and lead them in the kingdom way. So Jesus wasn't haphazardly like, God, what are we going to do? I don't know who to pick. Come follow me. And then two people made eye contact. That's another way. It didn't work that way. And Jesus knew Peter, he knew Andrew. Jesus, when he turned 30, moved his ministry from Nazareth to Caesarea, which is a little town on the Sea of Galilee. And so from Caesarea, which happened to be a great crossroad, a great trading route from all of Rome to all of cities surrounding, that's the path they would go through the city. So it made great sense for Jesus to set up in the town of Caesarea. Jesus also knew Peter. And Peter's home is right across from the synagogue. I've been there. And Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And they healed Peter's mother-in-law, which is good for you men to know. Healing for the mother-in-law is a good thing. And Jesus in the city, though, has distinctly gone. He knows the time of day. He knows where Peter and Andrew will be. And he recognizes it's this moment. It's this time. Also, Also, Simon and Andrew know what Jesus is asking. Come, follow me. When a rabbi was approached, which is how it typically happened, Rabbi, may I follow you? There would have been great testing. There'd have been great sifting. And Jesus, it says, had done that on a mountain, spent the night with God, got a great idea of who his close 12 would be. And Jesus knows the potential, the possibilities that are in there, and how God has set aside Simon and Andrew. And he walks to him and he says, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. In your spiritual journey, your entry point may have been simple, and it's fantastic. We do that here. At the end of service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to follow Jesus. That's a decision, and it's not simply a ticket. It is our rendition, if you will, of Jesus, come follow me. Here's what all rabbis knew. In the invitation, it wasn't head knowledge. It was a heart transformation journey. For disciples of a rabbi would be transformed into the likeness of their rabbi. And so if you can picture you and me, we're invited by all sorts of rabbis on any given day. Now there are people pining for our attention, prodding us to get something from us, inviting us. The idols of this world offer the same invitation, and there's a lot quicker instant gratification. Lust is a powerful idol, if you haven't noticed. There's a lot of money behind lust, and lust will invite you, come, follow me. It's true. Now, it's not that obvious, right? It's not on your computer screen and Satan shows up in your room. You're like, whoa, how did you get here? And he taps you on the shoulder. He's like, come follow me, right? Because we'd all be like, well, that's crazy. I'm not going to do that. Enemy's ways are far more subtle, but we must understand the invitation still stands. Come follow me. Money is a lot more seductive. There are a lot of times, if you got down my prayer, on its simplest form is, hey, God, more money right now. Amen. Of course, I use biblical language around that, so it sounds far more holy. But a lot of times, and here's what's great. God actually welcomes those prayers. He's good with that. We pray those prayers for people as well. But if we're not careful, our heart can be seduced to the narrative of our life is following the invitation, come, follow me. We don't recognize, man, we're following lust or we're following money. And they're subtle. Simple ways, but here's what I want to remind us in this series, Successful Living. You signed up. If you didn't sign up and aren't following Jesus, you're off the hook. But for those of you in here online who said, Jesus, here's my life, take it, do what you will. For those of us, we don't get a choice. We must, with every part of our being, walk towards the words, the ways, and on the road of Jesus Christ. It's a radical, revolutionary way of living. But if you followed him for any length of time, you've recognized Jesus offers us things that power do not. Jesus offers us and brings life to us that money can't. Jesus brings to us things that lust can't, that fulfillment in and of itself can't. And so Jesus today is inviting us, come, follow me. It's not haphazardly like, hey, see, you guys are fishermen. That's a waste of time. Let's become fishers of men, right? No, Jesus is asking what we're all really asking. He's asking us to follow him, and what that answers for us is what we think about when our head hits the pillow, or what we try to avoid on a daily basis. I'll answer that question when I retire. I'll answer that question when everything's sorted out in life. No, I think it's important for us, especially beginning of this year, to answer, begin to reflect, begin to prayerfully consider, what is successful living? Begin, if you can, to forecast, man, at 80, looking back, what is successful living? We are the only point of creation that can actually do that, in case you didn't know that. We can reflect and contemplate. Those of you with pets know they can't do what our minds can do. You can't look at your dog and say, look, like our dog is named Duncan. I can't say Duncan. I want you to think about the next 10 years of your life. I want you to reflect on success, okay? I want you to forecast and look back. Dogs, you know, dogs can't do that. They have one thought, and it's bacon. Amen, somebody. That's it. That's all they think. But God has given us brains that are tremendous, phenomenal. And he invites us, and here's my heart behind this. As a pastor, I want you chasing the right thing. In community, through our small groups, what are we after? We want to encourage you to the end of your days to say, man, I chased the right things. Oh, snap, I was actually on the right path. And that's what Jesus is after. He's not only after your eternity. He's after your life here and now. And he invites Andrew and he invites Simon and says, hey, come on, man, come on. Time is short. Let's go. Let's give it everything we got. I'm going to transform you. And it's going to be a wild adventure. But it is an abundant life. It is the ways of Jesus. So Jesus gives us, I'll give it to you real quick, and then we'll unpack it with a short few minutes. We have an invitation. I've got it down to these three things: his words, his ways, the road of Jesus. The words of Jesus, the ways of Jesus, the road of Jesus. You don't get to live, if you will, on the road of Jesus and avoid his words and his ways. What is fascinating, though, if you walk in his words, operate your life by his ways, you experience the road of Jesus. Yes, the road of Jesus is difficult. Yes, the road of Jesus is painful. But can I tell you, the road of Jesus gives us relationship with God, relationship with our Father. And that is more than the price of gold. It's more than any of the idols of this world can offer. And it is really the straight and narrow that leads to a successful life, which is what I would say we're all after. So I just want to spend a few moments, the words of Jesus. If you've been following along with us, you know our nudge has been to download the 1 Year Bible app, or the Bible in 1 Year app. We've been tracking through and going through the Bible in 1 year. And what I read this past week, just a couple days ago, we've been in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And this particular passage, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is at the end of a really long sermon. A really long sermon where he's just talking about almost any topic. It's got something in there, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Well, at the end, Jesus makes this statement. And these are about his words. Therefore, if everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. It's a beautiful picture. Idols can be built upon. You can pursue success through idols. You can do it. I mean, you can, and you could be really successful at it. You could do really great things. You can accomplish a lot of good things, but eventually, the foundation of our lives will be sifted and will be tested. For example, 2020. Boy, that was a testing, was it not? For many of us, we were quite encouraged by where our foundation lay. For others of us, and even in certain moments, we're a little less encouraged by what our foundation was built on. See, our idols eventually let us down. For example, I know people who are tremendously successful businessmen. Love it. And women, love it. For some, even in the midst of their work, they're building their foundation on the words of Jesus. They're keeping God's kingdom in perspective. So they live within parameters. They're not doing shortcut work. They're not mistreating. They're not misguided. They're not so focused on dollar that they lose sight of Christ's words. And so they've lived their days. They've lived their marriage. You talk to their kids like them. That's a big win, all right? What is that? That's somebody successful in culture's eyes for their hard work and their diligence and their consistency and their character and competency and all those things. But here's another beautiful side. When the winds of life have come, the storms of life have come, they didn't fall apart. Why? Because they have built their life in a direction. It's not serving an idol, it's serving Christ. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. You and I, though, also know coworkers, friends, we know people we would say are very successful in the world's eyes. We see story after story sometimes pop up online or in an email, or we get a call. Can you believe XYZ? Unfortunately, it's happening more frequently, so we're like, yeah, I always thought that. Or yeah, I was just waiting for the other foot to drop. What am I getting at? They built on sand. And the money was flowing, things were going well, but what they didn't realize is they didn't recognize that between the years of their daughter's life, from 5 to 15, that decade where they pursued an idol, it had dramatic consequences. It's difficult. That's why this stuff is really important. Because you talk to people that are successful in the world's eyes, but they are consumed with regret and frustration. Because when the waters of life came, the floods were coming, when the hail came down, when the rocks came and the difficulties, the storms of life came, their house fell apart. So Jesus is, he's teaching us, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, my highest priority of scriptures, Matthew 5, 6, 7. You didn't ask that, but I just thought I'd share. And what am I getting at with that? I'm getting, if you can orient your life with the words of Jesus, it will take your direction and move it forward. And then it might not be immediate. It might not be even 5 years. But I promise you, slowly but surely, his kingdom will begin to permeate all throughout your life. And by the way, I know the example I use. Can I tell you? We can't lose for anything. When we are in God, can I tell you, he's a restorer of poor decades. He looks at a businesswoman or a businessman or anybody who's like, man, can we erase that decade? He says, no, let's not erase it. Let's redeem it. It's the power of God. It's the power of his redeeming qualities. That's another message for another time. I want to get ahead of the game for your life, though. We want to be people that take the words of Jesus. Listen. Many times we live as Jesus is giving us just good advice. And it's kind of like when you're 16 and your parents are like, hey, nothing good happens after 11 p.m. And you're like, are you kidding me? Everything good happens after 11 p.m., right? It's kind of like, oh, yeah, Jesus says, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, blah, 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 blah. I got better ideas, better plans. And Jesus is like, you don't know. You don't know. And then when something happens after 11 p.m., we're like, man, my dad, he is smart. Oh, my goodness. I can trust my mom, she has good advice. Wow. We're like startled and surprised, and your parents are like, Well, I can't use the words they would use, but they're like, you should have listened all along. All right, there are reasons for our madness. We're not crazy. Sometimes we approach like, man, Jesus is just good advice. Listen, if you're here, you don't know where you stand with God. Our prayer is that you know God. But if you need time, if you want to continue to learn and grow, so I want to encourage you, dive into the words of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 specifically. Begin to test the waters of it. But I do want to encourage you, if you have signed up, you like, I'm following Jesus, I hate to break it to you, you don't get any excuses. You've got to take the words of Jesus as seriously as possible. And you know as well as I do that when you fall, he picks you back up. And you know about this church as well as I do. When you fall, when you sin, come on, you met with mercy and love of God. But why do we encourage? Why do we inspire? Why do we dive into the Word of God? Because we know what the future holds. It's not just a haphazard positive thinking. No, it's getting rooted in God's words. When we get rooted in the words of God, slowly but surely, it doesn't happen overnight. Perhaps if you're new to the faith, you know this tension of which I speak. The ways of Jesus. Come on. God is transforming us that we not only have the words of Jesus up here, but we operate in the ways of Jesus. It's so important for me that I want you to say it back to me. 1, 2, 3. The ways of Jesus. Just turn to somebody near you and just say, the ways of Jesus. The ways of Jesus matter. The disciples would find this out. The disciples would find this out. The ways of Jesus matter. Peter struggled with this one. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when the centurions came, the officers came to arrest Jesus? There was a disciple named Peter who pulled out a sword. What did Jesus say? Oh, dang it. I was hoping that would be more effective than just slicing off somebody's ear. No. The Paul Deary translation says, stupid, those who live by the sword die by the sword. Theologians will say some of Jesus' disciples still believed he was working a coup. Not like symbolic coup. No, they thought this was all part of a master plan to overthrow the Roman Empire. Judas was one who theologians say believed that. Simon Peter was known as a zealot. The Messiah Simon Peter was longing for was a militant empire-leading overthrower. Jesus just said, it's not my ways. Let me insult you, Peter. Not today. Because those who live by the sword die by the sword. I'm introducing a kingdom that those on their knees are more powerful. That those who surrender their future to me are more powerful than the plans and the ways of this world. Let us not lose sight of that. No matter what climate our nation is in, we are called to follow the ways of Jesus and to walk in the ways of Jesus. I remember sharing with somebody leadership goals. My goal as a leader can be summed up in Galatians 5, 22 through 24. It also happens to be my goal as a husband, my goal as a friend, and most of the time, my goal as a pastor. It's to treat people in line with the fruit of the Spirit. I do have my off days, I must confess. But I'm trying to yield and to let his Spirit operate more. And any agenda or way of life that is counter this must find itself submitted to Jesus. Else, I'm out. Listen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. I like to stop there. I just like to, Paul does better without that last part. Self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Here's where we're moving from good advice. Again, if you're not in and not wanting to be part of the kingdom of God yet, no problem. Keep coming, keep listening, keep letting us bug you and encourage you and pray for you. But I will say, if you are a follower of Christ, you have to let these words, verse 24, take root. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We are, many times, the only Bible our coworkers will ever read. Right now, our five-year-old gets a lot of different Bibles. She's learning to read. She can't read fully yet. But Emma, our five-year-old, myself and my wife are the only Bibles that she's reading. So, as a parent, when you're playing the Switch with your five-year-old daughter and you're stuck on a level of Super Mario Brothers you thought was going to be easy, you want to practice self-control. And I've been taking a journal of words you shouldn't use around your five-year-old because she will repeat them back to you when your wife's walking past somebody. So I can make things easier for you. I won't, listen, it's nothing I necessarily would have to strike out. I just like to remind my wife, I come from a British background. Some words are, it's a little less, you know. In South Africa, it was no problem. Here it is, so I won't say them. But the road of Jesus. Luke 10:27. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Shooting totally straight, your life's on a road. You're following an idol of sorts. I wish I could say, you know what, take the next 5 years and waste your life. Do what you want, pick a road and see where it leads you. No, life is never a guarantee. Tomorrow, scripture clearly says it's not a guarantee. But I know years ago, there became, it entered in as a thought in my mind, and I said, you know, not all roads, if you've never heard this, not all roads lead to heaven, by the way. And not all roads on earth lead to the same outcome. It's vitally important. I don't preach like this every Sunday, so come back next week. But it is vitally important that time to time we do a little checkup. We don't do tons of self-investigation and beat ourselves up. No, there's so much mercy, so much grace, so much goodness of God. It's remarkable. But it is important to just kind of, okay, my heart is beating. Okay, thank God. See, honey, my heart is beating. I do have a heart. Okay. But it's important that we do some self-reflection and we think about, man, where is this road leading? And if the words of Jesus aren't even in the mix, hold up. Check the road. Check the road. If the ways of Jesus aren't in the mix, if there is, hypothetically speaking, if there is something that can divide you from another human being to the point that you're screaming at them and your teeth are seized like this and your fist, that's not a fighting stance, your fist is like this, okay? Let it go. Let it go. Your husband is going to buy the wrong flavor of ice cream. You've just got to let it go. It's going to happen, all right? Somebody in your home is going to overspend and download an entire season of Bubble Guppies, and you got no clue it was happening. You got to let it go. You've got to learn. Somebody's going to have some political differences in your life. Somebody's going to look at you and hire your coworker ahead of you. And you are far more capable. In fact, you're far more likable. I like you more, and I don't even know your coworker. Something's gonna happen. There's gonna be a delay in your life, and everybody around you, their prayer requests are being answered. And you're just so frustrated. You're so disappointed. But thank God for Facebook. You get on Facebook, you see everybody else's failures, see everybody else's mistakes, see everybody else's disappointments, and you just leave encouraged in that moment. That's one of the blessings of social media. But the road of Jesus is worth it. The road of Jesus is worth it. I've tasted and seen what the idols of this world offer. And in the morning, nobody greets me like Jesus. Nobody looks me in the eyes with fire of love and hope and peace like Jesus. Money has tried. Areas of life have tried. But only Jesus can love like my soul was desiring. Only Jesus offers a peace that when a year like 2020 happens, there's a peace that passes all understanding. That in the midst of death and suffering and brokenness and fear, there's hope, there's life. There are tears, but there's also tears with promises on them that God will redeem and renew all things. You can ask. Some of you, you just may, hey, I heard the message. I just wanted to ask you. Some of our prayer team, they're older than me. They have more life experience than me. Ask him, be like, is he for real? And let them share a little bit of their story. And they'll tell you, yeah. It's true. Jesus is the only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the only one worthy of getting our attention. The only one worthy of getting our hope, getting our heart. Let's end. We're going to end with Matthew 5:44. Then we'll pivot, okay? We'll shift to a different mood as we do our give a seed offering, all right? But let me end. If you're curious as to how this is made possible, a whole lot of energy, effort, and sacrifice. It's not easy. It's not simple. I think following Jesus has a lot more with getting up again than, you know, an easy path. I think it has a lot to do with consistently focusing, consistently getting back, consistently getting in God's word, consistently praying. And as a church, one of the things we hope to offer you is how you can read your scripture and not be intimidated by it. How you can pray and not be intimidated. We want to be a church that helps build your life. We have small groups to help build your life. And it's slow. We have some people that have been with us, and the journey that they are on is a slow walk to freedom. But can I tell you, without a shadow of doubt in my mind, if I was to call them up, which I won't, but if I was to call them up, they would look you in the eye and say, man, it's worth it. Jesus is worth it every time. And he calls out to us, he invites us, and he's not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for you to have it all together. But he does say to you, he looks you in the eye. You know, you ever been in a crowd of people and the speaker's there and he's looking at the person next to you and you're thinking, is it me? Is it him? Is it me? You know? Jesus looks you in the eye. He's not just looking at your neighbor, and he says, come, follow me. He's got a promise with it that he leads us in the ways of life, ways of freedom, ways of mercy. Now, he asks some crazy things. Jesus gets ridiculous. He leads us in a way of worship that we love our Father, our Heavenly Father, more than anything. He leads us to love our neighbor more than anything. And I'll be honest, I'm like good most days with that. But then Jesus says, hey, love your enemy. That's the moment I kind of want to tap out a little bit more times than not. But can I tell you, why does Jesus do that? Because he knows what leads to life for us. So I want to give you that invitation, and then we'll shift. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. If you need a hard line in the sand, or you need to start the race and the journey with God, will you say these words with me? God, I need you. I've been following idols. I've been following ways of this world. I need your help. I need your direction. More than that, God, I need your saving grace. Forgive me. I've sinned. I've lived life apart and away from you. But I'm so desperate to be back again. I'm so desperate to be close again, God. There's a peace I felt years ago, but I need it again. And here I am saying, I'm in. I'm all yours. Have my life. Give me your purpose. Give me your plan, Lord. I willingly take up my cross and follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you for each one of us. As we live in some interesting times in our culture, God, I thank you, Lord, that fear is not our portion, but perfect love, it's casted out. Father, we're so excited about advancing your kingdom through your words and through your ways. May we live a life that honors you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. On that note, let's celebrate those giving their life to Christ today. Come on.